We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
I think we're good, Al. So we put up a poll in the ESPN LA Twitter feed. Okay. Is getting a cheeseburger, fries, and a Coke at a restaurant the same as fast food? We have a number of votes in. 76% of the people say no, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
That's good. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I think those, the 21.6% that voted yes, it's bad people.
It was so good. You know what? Here's what I got, though, that kind of bothered me a little bit. Even Susan mentioned some of it. I cut it in half. It was so big, there was no way to
kind
of
do it. That's the best thing.
You know the rule, though, right? DeMarco hates it when you cut it in half.
DeMarco says you can't have a hamburger and cut it in half, and I still don't understand what the problem is.
I don't even know where to start. It's like eating a hubcap.
Well, he also has, I mean, just imagine, like, his hands are probably twice as large as ours. So
they burger on the little thing, and the fries are stacked up next to it. It's looking good. And all the fries were this long. They were like an inch long. Like, I got the very bottom of the bag, I think. You know what I mean? Like, where
crispy?
The nice, they were fine, but they were small. Like, almost to the point where you couldn't, because I like a couple of long ones, get a little scoop of the ketchup and all those things.
So
like
now
little
you're dipping
teeny ones.
Basically, your fingers are in ketchup.
It almost forced me to go to a fork, which you can't do. You can't eat French fries with a fork. That's crazy behavior.
That's so funny, too, because, you know, your argument of fast food versus, like, the reason why you're asking if it's fast food or not is, like, if you're cheating on the diet plan that you had for yourself. Well, the thing is that this is definitely a bigger burger. This is probably more food.
But it's 100%, yes.
But it's the quality, too. The quality is better than fast food.
If we're just doing calorie count, I tripled the coverage because I also had three paint buckets full of Coke.
So it's just in your mind, I'm not spending money on fast food.
Yeah.
And spending money and spending calories.
But Denny's is not fast food, is it?
No.
Okay, cool.
If you sit down and there's a waiter, it feels like you're okay. If you pull up in the car and you just reach your hand out of the driver's side window and get a bag,
Chipotle or Subway, where you had to go in and it's like basically like a line. That's fast food too, right?
Yeah,
I don't think so. You think Chipotle's fast food?
I don't think Chipotle's fast food.
I don't think it is.
It's quick service.
No, I don't think it's fast food.
I'm with them on that one.
It definitely is.
Subway is.
You know who owns Chipotle? McDonald's.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Subway? No,
I don't think so.
They're both fast food.
I don't think they are fast food.
Put up a poll, Parker.
I never looked at that. It's gonna be 19.
So what's your definition?
Cava?
Fast food. No, that's definitely not.
Cava's not.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have healthier fast food, but it's still fast food.
But okay,
What's the definition for you, Al? I guess
that's the definition of fast food. Fast food for me is I'm going to Jack in the Box. I went and grabbed two tacos, a Jumbo Jack. I'm going to Taco Bell. I'm going to Del Taco.
I went through a drive-thru.
So it's the drive-thru is the difference. Because Chipotle and Taco Bell are cousins at best. Right?
Yeah, same family at least.
Yeah, yeah.
But the type of food quality-wise from Chipotle is going to be a lot different than Taco Bell.
It is.
Bell.
You don't get barbacoa at a Taco Bell.
It's going to be a lot different.
Not yet.
Wait, no. Actually, Chipotle has gone to the recently, and it's owned by McDonald's.
Yeah, but just because they're owned by McDonald's, what's the chain? The Rockets owner who owns...
the Papa Do's. He owns Mastro's. He owns Morton's.
Bubba something.
Bubba
like
Gump
Shrimp.
He owns them all.
They own fast food, and then they also own Mastro's.
Chipotle's quality is crap these days. Especially, they've gone off the deep end in terms of its quality.
You have a personal...
When was the last time you went to Chipotle?
Probably
last
a month
weekend.
Ago.
I was like, Chipotle's quality is very bad.
Sounds like the movie theater again. Like we're talking about that movie from earlier.
I'm just saying, Chipotle and Subway are fast food restaurants.
I don't think so, but sure.
If you look up the most common fast food, it's going to say Subway. It has the most franchise. Okay, wait. I was like, you can't do franchises because you can have franchises of like Chili's, you know?
For now.
Hey, Parker, tiebreaker. Thumbs up or down? Chipotle and Subway. Fast food joint.
Where is he? Can Emily see him?
Parker back there?
Oh, there he is. Thumbs up. He's saying yes.
It is fast food. Yeah. All right, so he's with
three
us.
3-2.
We're not friends.
It can fit on the graphic.
I guess it's called Fast Casual.
Fast Casual.
It's quick service, yeah.
QSR. Shohei Ohtani, ready?
What a turn.
Is batting 336. He's slugging 639 for an OPS of over 1,000. Okay, just for reference sake, for people that maybe aren't familiar with that, anything between 750 and 800 is pretty good. Okay, 750 is about league average, and 800 is pretty darn good. His is over 1,000. Mookie Betts' is over 1,100. Shohei Ohtani has 7 home runs leading the team. He has a triple and 14 doubles. So that's 15. He's got 22 extra base hits in 30 games. Am I completely out of my mind that it still feels like the best is yet to come with him? And I'm not talking about the pitching that's going to come in future seasons. I'm just talking about with a bat in his hands. Because when he came up to bat last night, yesterday afternoon, I guess, second and third, nobody out. Dodgers down by 2 runs. Barnes gets on. Mookie has a double. It's like, okay, here we go. You're going to have Ohtani, Freeman, Hernandez, and Muncy. Like, they're your 2 runs. Nobody out. It's going to happen. Ohtani swings at the first pitch, fouls it off. It's out of the strike zone.
Yep.
He swings at the second pitch that's like not quite neck high, but above the letters and below the neck. Mm-hmm. Pops it up. They get the first easy out. They walk Freddie, and they end up getting out of the inning. They escape. Once he stops chasing those pitches, and I think the only reason he's chasing those pitches is because he's pressing. I still think he's trying to, hey, I'm the guy. I'm making all the money. I'm on a good team for the first time ever. I want to show everybody how good of a player, et cetera, et cetera. I think once he just calms down and just says, yeah, I'm going to spit on that ball as it goes by. I'm going to wait till that ball comes down more towards belt level, and then I'm going to split a gap. The numbers are crazy, and yet in the back of my mind, it still doesn't feel like we've seen the best of this guy.
I don't think his numbers are probably going to get crazy. They're not going to get that much better.
Yeah.
But I think the timing of when he gets some of his moments is going to be the difference. I think the reason why you feel the way you feel is because Ohtani has not had – I remember really early in the season. I think the bases were loaded. It's at Dodger Stadium. He's got a shot to give the Dodgers a lead, and I want to say he struck out. Yeah. That's it. It ended. Ohtani is going to have – you're waiting for moments. I'll give you a semi-moment with Ohtani. Ohtani's first at-bat against the Blue Jays on Friday – and everyone in Toronto was booing him.
Yeah, that was weird.
And he hits a home run. By the way, I don't think it was weird. I think that's kind of it's a common thing.
It's the first time we've ever seen him get booed.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
it's probably the first time.
He's never been booed.
Funny enough, and I'm not a booer, and I've told you this story before. When he was in the Angels, there's 2 on. I think Padres had like a 3-2 lead or something like that. I had to boo Ohtani. I'm like, I don't think anybody's ever booed him, but I was just trying to get the out so Padres can win. Okay, is what it is. Nobody's going to boo Ohtani. But yesterday I thought he had a moment where he hits a solo shot. Okay. His teammates, once he gets to the dugout, they all start booing him. It was kind of like a funny moment, this, that. I think you're looking at Ohtani's numbers and you're saying these numbers are unbelievable. But if I told you right now, give me Ohtani moments. Did Ohtani hit a 9th-inning 3-run homer when they were down 2 runs?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Did Ohtani in a game against the Atlanta they're taking on the Atlanta Braves, and it's the 6th inning, and the game is tied 5 apiece, and he comes up with runners on 2nd and 3rd, and he hits one down the line, a 2-run score, and that ends up being the difference? I think Ohtani's numbers are probably going to stay the same, but I think his moments are only going to get they're only going to get better in critical situations.
Yeah, it's funny. I was trying to think of the thing that pops into my mind first. I guess it was that super long home run he hit in Washington. It didn't win the game or anything. It was just a long home run.
It was against the Nationals, yeah. And it was 450 feet. You remember it for that. But moments like
that. Yeah, no, you're right.
Moments like that, okay, that happens with all great players. Where's Ohtani's moment of, again, at Dodger Stadium. It's a Wednesday night. The game is tied against the San Francisco Giants here in the 8th inning, and he hits a 3-run blast.
Yeah, that hasn't happened yet. And he's
and
chasing.
It will happen.
They were asking Dave after the game, like, hey, what did you – he's swinging at bad pitches. The fact that they're asking Dave Roberts about, hey, what did you think of him swinging at that pitch, tells you that he's swinging at bad pitches. And Dave's like, he'll be all right. I thought there was a pitch he could drive. But you could even tell that Dave's like, yeah, look, he's still not quite – the numbers off the charts. I mean, he's – if you had an MVP right now, it's probably him or Mookie. They're both just doing crazy stuff. But once those moments that you're talking about start to happen, it's going to be a different
thing. And
feeling.
We're in April.
Yeah.
So it might not happen. He'll and this is what's going to happen. He's going to have a weekend where it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Dodger Stadium, and the dude drove in, you know,
12 runs.
Exactly. Yeah. He had one of those, and it was, and sometimes he might drive in runs, but the game is already out of reach.
Yeah.
I think he'll just have those bigger moments on the
bigger
stage. It was
a trip seeing him get booed. It's like, welcome to the real league.
Well, it's also like, why are you booing Ohtani? Yeah. He was never going to the Toronto.
It was down to Toronto. And
he was on a plane.
But he wasn't on the plane.
Was it? Was it? I know that. I think what the Toronto fans were feeling was that erroneous report that he was on an airplane. Yep. And they allowed
but
themselves
to. But Toronto was
in
the mix.
They were in the mix, but.
He was going to get his $700 million.
No, I know, but I don't think that they were the other team. I think they were among the other teams. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't think that they were the other team any more than San Francisco was, or maybe the Angels were.
Sure,
or,
sure.
You know, that just. He was going to go to it. Looking back on it, he was coming to the Dodgers.
Okay, here's the other reason why he got booed. And you said this earlier. We're doing some of our prep. If he signed with the Angels, he's not getting booed if he signed with the Angels because nobody really cares what was happening with the Angels.
There's no any games.
He signed with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
He signed with a real team that's got a real shot of potentially winning a World Series. And I think that's part of it. Is it stupid? Of course it's stupid. He didn't play a game for the Toronto Blue Jays. That never happened.
I think, honestly, if he went to the Cubs and the Cubs played Toronto, but that same story that happened, he would still get booed. No, I think he would still get booed if he was playing for the Cubs. And he had that whole story that he thought they were going there. I think it was because they were hurt because they thought he was going there, and he said no.
Sure.
They should be mad at the guy that wrote the story. They should be mad at the guy that tweeted, oh, he's on an airplane, when it was the guy from Shark Tank.
Yeah.
That he didn't fly to Toronto, get off the plane and go, psych, and jump back on and fly to L.A.
And like those fake videos of him walking through the airport in Toronto that were not actually him walking through the airport.
Look at the ad back there. Do you see it?
Oh, yeah, the shrimp and stuff?
No.
Oh.
The sandwich?
Smucker Uncrustables.
Yeah, those are good.
I didn't know those. They are now in the background at Toronto with Glass now pitching.
They're good.
Also, I do have to clean up. Okay. Chipotle hasn't been owned by McDonald's for 10 years, apparently. That doesn't mean that it isn't crap. So I just wanted to say
you,
that.
Guys, what? if you think she's ever going to take the L, she's never going to do it.
Just a quick question. What did what you just said had anything to do with the argument that we had?
I'm just cleaning up because I said that McDonald's owns
Chipotle. What did you
Chipotle
say afterwards?
She still needed to get
that it's still, that is still crap. And now we just got another ad for Chipotle up there. Okay, when was the last time you went to Chipotle and you actually felt satisfied because they put less food on your plate each time, the chicken's worse?
It's a complete crap.
Exactly. Chipotle back in 2014 was better, okay? So maybe McDonald's was better with them.
All right, so next season for the NFL when I win the picks and stuff, I'm going to choose Chipotle.
Amazing. Great. Good for you. It's going to be cheaper than Olive Garden.
It is a Michelob Ultra Reaction Monday here on 710. And tonight, it's a Michelob Ultra watch party in the city of Downey. Join the ESPN LA Street Team starting at 6 o'clock. Ojos Locos in Downey to root on the purple and gold. Game 5 tonight. Ojos Locos, 8350 Firestone Boulevard right there in Downey. You can win ESPN LA swag. You can have a chance to win an Austin Reeves autographed basketball. See you tonight. Thanks to Michelob Ultra. 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. We got some phone calls coming up next. Lakers game 5 tonight. Slee, back of my mind, like, I think we're going to get a game 6. I'm going to tell you why. It's next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
See you in Downey. That's where I met Brenda.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E.
Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You good over there, Em? You still doing your Chipotle deep dive, or you good?
I'm just fighting with people online. It's great.
Do you like that?
No. I can't help myself. I posted this weekend when, you know, that video of LeBron jumping up and down like a little child.
That was weird.
The review.
Well, I was like, this
and
is.
And he was right.
I know. That was the worst Finally.
Part. That was the worst part.
I was like, this is me every time that I have some sort of thing that riles me up on the Travis and Sliwa show. And I can't even help it.
Do you argue with people online? I'll see something that's.
No. No, I don't. Really find much.
I'm glad that you do, Em. It puts a smile on my face.
I can't make an argument through like a tweet. You know what I mean? Like that's very, very. I've got to be really fired up about something to have a screaming match over.
I'm not screaming.
X.
You're not all capsing it.
You're not screaming, not but <always. laughs> sometimes in your head you're yelling. It's just not coming off that way.
Okay, so I have. No rooting interest at all in the Dallas Mavericks. Mm-hmm. I have no rooting interest at all in the Los Angeles Clippers. That was awesome
yesterday. Phenomenal.
I watched the second half of the third quarter and all of the fourth, and every time the ball go down, I was, oh my gosh. Like it was just a clinic
Kyrie.
On shot making.
Incredible.
Harden. Was awesome.
Paul George, that George fadeaway three.
Unbelievable.
Incredible.
That was as much fun as I've had watching a basketball game where I didn't care who wins or loses in forever. And the thing that just jumped off the page of me as I was watching it is watching Harden make tough shot after tough shot. Well, Kyrie hit a couple that were so stupid.
You see that one? He goes into the lane.
He switched hands
all
four
three,
times.
I think Terrence Mann, Paul George, James Harden, everybody. I think Ty Lue got in there too, threw his hand in there too. And he just hangs and then uses his right hand.
General managers, teams, owners, they're always going to bet on talent. No matter how unpredictable Kyrie Irving may be in his personal life, no matter how fat James Harden might get at other points, no matter how much he may quit at other points on other teams. They've got so much ability that it's always, hey, if I can get the best version of that guy, nobody can stop him. James Harden for a quarter was, oh my God, James Harden is awesome again. That floater after floater, right side of the basket, left side of the basket.
What to do with him.
Kyrie's jumping up in the air and throwing bounce passes through four guys that hit a guy right in the pocket. He goes, it was awesome to watch, and you're like, that's why people always take chances on guys that quit and guys that do crazy stuff.
You know, it's crazy, and this is – I know this isn't true what I'm about to say, but there's just something about – we were talking about putting together super teams, things like that. Not having Kawhi out there. Clippers are not better without Kawhi Leonard, okay?
Are you 100% sure about that? Because I think you're right, but when you watch him play without him, you're like, that looks different.
Let's say this. If Kawhi Leonard's 100%, no, I want Kawhi Leonard there. But there's also one basketball. So there was something about yesterday watching, and I think this is kind of the situation that the Phoenix Suns are in as well. There was something about watching the Clippers. Paul George doesn't have to take three or four plays off before he touches the ball because he wants to make sure Kawhi touches the ball, and then Kawhi's got to let James Harden touch the ball. It's like these guys got to be in attack mode anytime they wanted to or anytime they needed to. That's why the complement of players is sometimes much more important. If the Phoenix Suns, hypothetically, just speaking out of my you-know-what, let's say they had KD and Devin Booker, but the $50 million that it's costing them to have Brad Beal was 2 3-and-D guys and a little bit more depth on the bench. Which team is better?
Oh, no question.
I know the player, you might say that individual player is better, but
you
for what the team needs.
Sometimes those super teams are obvious, right? Throwing Kevin Durant on the Warriors, well, sure.
It's stupid.
Right? LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. Yeah, well, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
By the way, that took time. That didn't happen right away.
But those are the exceptions. I guess the Celtics did it with Pierce and Garnett and Allen.
Ray Allen. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But how many other times have you tried to throw things together with, and it just doesn't come together. And look, the Clippers aren't going to win the title. Then the Mavericks aren't going to win the title. But last night, it was just sometimes talent just trumps everything else. James Harden, He had me rooting for him. I didn't care if the Clippers win or not, but you can only see a guy throw in so many off-balance floaters that don't hit anything but the net, where you're like, okay, that was great. That was amazing. And Kyrie Irving, who I'm not a fan of at all, it's like, yeah, how do you not get excited for what you're seeing? And just those straight guys that can go off, and they were both doing it at the same time. I loved it.
Have you ever seen this? I'm actually listening to the game driving back from San Diego yesterday, and I'm listening to the Phoenix Suns and the Minnesota Timberwolves. How the hell does Chris Finch, the coach of the Timberwolves, he tore his patellar tendon. I saw something yesterday. He's going to need surgery, likely between the rounds. So he'll do that now since they just swept.
My goodness. Okay.
Timeline of healing is 6 months, but usually 1 year before feeling normal. Okay, what? Help me understand this, because I think Minnesota is actually a really true threat to whoever comes out of this series. If it ends up being Denver by the time the dust settles tonight, I think they're a true threat. I really do. How's he going to coach? Like, how do you clipboard?
Sit in the bench? Because I know they like to jump up and down and walk the sideline. Are you just parked on the bench?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I'm not even being like, maybe, oh no, because if it's his knee, you can't do that. I was thinking like maybe get one of those tricycles, like when you tear your Achilles, but if it's your knee, you can't be on a tricycle.
Remember when Hugh Freeze had his appendix taken out and he was like in the like suites, like in a hospital bed calling the game for Liberty?
Those
like,
guys are
insane.
They're maniacs. They'll find a way. Even if he's sitting in the press box up top, they'll figure something
out.
And
this is Minnesota, who's not had any success in the playoffs. It's not like, remember, I think we talked about Steve Kerr had the issues with his back. Phil Jackson has had hip issues. Okay, you have a different chair, that. This guy freaking...
It tore his knee up. KJ in Los Angeles. Let's try that. KJ, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I think, let me ask you a question. Is having a barbecue stand right on the corner of ESPN, is that fast food when everything is homemade?
No.
Okay, so I'll give you this. If the Lakers win and they come back to L.A., your office can come by right there at the intersection, which I barbecue at the barbecue Lakers games, and get barbecue ribs, yams, baked beans, potato salad, greens, candy yams, peach cobbler.
Okay, well,
KJ. Well, if they lose, you can still do all
that. Yeah, I know.
Real. Come before a Clipper game. I mean, I'll come before a Kings game. Come for
Kings,
anything.
Okay, Kings probably aren't coming home either.
I'm doing it on the Clippers. Now, on another thing, I think the GOAT scenario, as far as the old guys like LeBron and KD, I think that's changing now for this new generation of Ja Morant, Ant-Man, and my personal opinion is, I think if the Lakers don't win the championship and go to the finals, New York Knicks have 3 first-round draft picks, not because Bronny is a good player, but I believe they will get Bronny to bring LeBron there. And I know that sounds crazy, but think about it. When the Lakers played the New York Knicks and won, LeBron was doing the interview with the New York Knicks towel on. One,
so is Torian Prince. But...
He entered the arena with special New York Knicks color shoes on. So that's a possibility. And one of my sources said Ron Paul was in New York a couple of weeks ago. So I think that might change the scenario. And here's one more scenario. An article came out this weekend that said Phoenix Suns is looking to move KD by this in the offseason. It would be a beautiful thing if the Clippers got him. And let Kawhi go, because they signed him to an extension of $153 million, and he's been hurt every time, every season for the last four or five years.
So, KJ, let me jump in there
real quick.
Thank
you, KJ. I
will keep my eyes peeled for your barbecue. That looks amazing.
Send us a tweet.
Did you hear the last thing he said? Peach cobbler. I don't know about you, but I could eat 100 pounds of that. That's just unbelievable. It's all the peaches and all the good stuff, but not a ton of the crust. We just got a little bit of the crust on the top, which is just forget about it. Put a little vanilla ice cream on there. Let's go. Kevin Durant, LeBron James. There's a handful of other guys. Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's not as old as those guys, but Kawhi Leonard is so perpetually banged up that I think he falls into this category. The shuffling the deck with these guys is probably not the answer to solving the puzzle that's in the NBA right now.
Yeah, KD isn't Mr. Durable himself.
Right. So to solve the puzzle, you got to figure out a way to be better than Jokic and Murray and Porter. That you got to be better than that. We'll see what happens with the Celtics this year with Tatum and Brown and Porzingis and Holiday. Like, they're not these super top-heavy, old-driven teams. They're, look at what OKC's doing. You mentioned Minnesota a couple of different times. That Dallas with Luka. Dallas may be in a kind of a similar spot because they don't have a ton of stuff beyond those first two guys. But it's not, hey, which of these other old players can I move to a different place with a different old player to put? It's not how the league, not right now. The league is younger. It's deeper than it's ever been. You got to find a way to get better with the guys that you have as opposed to, well, we'll send out this old guy and we'll bring this other old guy back in.
Let's use his example. You mentioned the Knicks. Does it not for the first time feel like the Knicks are a stable organization that have somewhat of an idea of what they're doing?
Oddly, yes.
Have done a really good job of identifying the right players. Leon Rose, who's now there, that's the guy that's in the front office running everything. Do they stop everything that they've built here? And I'm not telling you that they're going to go win a championship, but they're a real team. They're a competitive team. They're beating the Philadelphia 76ers. They're about to, if they close out that series, now all of a sudden, okay, you're in the second round. The second round, you're probably going to play Indiana because they're going to end up being the Milwaukee Bucks. You can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And if it ends right there with the Boston Celtics, do you want to just kind of stifle what you're building, the draft picks that you have, all the stuff that you have, and say, trade it all away for LeBron? By the way.
Counterpoint.
By the way, that could be the missing piece for them to say, we got all these other things. Now we need a vet to go try to potentially go get a championship. But I don't know if the Knicks would do that at this point. Maybe
counterpoint. Jim Dolan. Bad ownership trumps everything else. If the owner's bad, you can never feel safe. You can never feel comfortable because he may be, it's the great white whale, right? This is the guy I've wanted for my entire career. We didn't get him in free agency this time. We couldn't pull a trade off here. He did blah, 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 blah.
Get him.
Go get him. Mm-hmm. If he's willing to go do it. And it could be Jim, that we're finally on the right path. Ananobe and Brunson and mm-hmm. Randall, we're on the right path. Did you not hear me? Either you go get him or I'm going to get somebody that will. And that's where ownership can torpedo all of this thing. Or the opposite could be true, right? Hey, listen, this isn't working. Let's go in a different direction. The owner is so wildly important, especially if they're unstable. Ideally, you want Jerry Buss. Ideally, you want Mark Walter for the Dodgers. Who's the smartest guy? Andrew Friedman? Okay, bring him in here. What do you need? Well, I need a ton of money. Here you go. What else do you need? Well, I'm pretty good right now. Let me go to work. Okay, let me know if you need anything. That's what you're looking for. But the wild card is bad owner, and there's more than one in all of these leagues. Hot and cold, coming up next is Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night, ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
I'm going to tell you who's hot right now, because this is how you know that you're onto something, Slee. We were talking about Chris Finch. We're talking about how he tore up his knee coaching a game and what happens next. None other than our pal, Dr. Clapper, was listening, and that's hot. And he's calling us in to tell us what. How you feeling, Doc?
All good. Great to hear you guys. You sound great.
Always good to hear your voice. So tell me what he's got in front of him. How can he coach NBA basketball if he's having knee surgery between the two rounds? Is that even a possibility?
It is, but it's going to be tough. You ready for a Clapper vision of what a patella tendon is?
Yes.
So, Travis and Slee, you know what it's like to have a leather belt, but the belt buckle is made of metal. How the hell do you attach something made of leather to a metal buckle? Well, the answer is you take the leather belt and you loop it around the metal part of the belt, and then you put holes and you put stitches, and that way you connect something made of leather to something made of metal. Well, when you rupture your patella tendon, the tendon is like the leather belt. The kneecap, the patella, is like the metal buckle. And we do exactly that. We drill holes into the bone, and a special kind of stitching, which you have to learn as an orthopedic surgeon, to lock the tendon. You bring it through the holes you drilled into the bone, and it will heal. But you're exactly right when you guys talked about what is he going to do on the sidelines. You cannot let them bend their knee. Oof. So if he can coach standing up, then you're going to see him on the sidelines.
Doc, I'll ask you a quick one as well here. We saw yesterday that Jamal Murray was listed as questionable. A calf strain. Can you just explain? It's kind of interesting. And Travis and I were already breaking this down that he kind of grimaced for a second during the game in the fourth quarter, but he ended up playing the rest of the game. What kind of effect do you think that has on Jamal Murray tonight?
So, Alan, you ready for a clapper vision?
Let's hear it. Of course we are.
Clapper vision.
So when you have a water skier, right, you have that horizontal bar that the water skier holds. But at either side of the bar is a string that comes out the top and the bottom end of the bar. It's horizontal. And then it fuses to become a single rope that goes to the boat, correct?
Yes.
The single rope that goes to the boat, if that tears, no more water skiing. Forget about it. Get out of here. You're in the water, right? That's an Achilles tendon rupture. But what if you tore or strained not the main guy to the boat, but one side of the horizontal bar? Not both, but one side. The other side is still intact. Guess what? You're still water skiing. You ain't falling down. You got to work a little bit harder with your muscles to hold on to the bar, but you ain't falling down in the water. That's a calf strain different than Achilles tendon rupture. So we can treat it. He can play, and I look for him to be playing tonight.
All right, one more for you, Doc, before we let you go. We're talking with Dr. Robert Clapper. So I want to go back to Chris Finch and what you're talking about. I heard you talk about drilling holes through bones and sewing it back together, and if he can stand there, I guess he can coach. What sort of pain are we talking about? I mean, is this something that's just blindingly painful? Is he standing there, or is it a reasonable expectation that he could be of sound mind and still be relatively pain-free enough to coach this team?
I have a lot of patients, professional athletes, that I have fixed this way. And they're wired differently than you and me, Travis. He will be on the sidelines just a couple of days. It's that Mamba mentality. I would not restrict him. And when he hears those words, he will be on the sidelines.
Crazy, crazy. Good to hear your voice, Doc. Thanks for calling
in. Thank
you, Doc. Anytime. Love to hear you guys. And you can catch me 4:45 on Thursdays with the other guys.
Okay,
you
perfect.
Got it.
Perfect.
You got it. Always good.
Thanks so much for letting me come on.
You got it, Doc. Anytime, like, I don't know about you. I'm squeamish and don't love this stuff. Drilling a hole through the kneecap. I just at that point I just went.
Well, his explanations are so. He dumbs it down to someone like you and I, and I'm like, oh no, that makes sense. Oh, okay, so you're holding on this, but then the pain level of like, oh no, that's a tendon, that's a muscle.
No,
this is like me calling my sister too, who's in the middle of medical school, and I'll ask her about something, and she's like, yeah, that's not good. Or I'll text her something about something that happened, and you're like, yeah, it's not good.
I should have asked them about my quad. I'm still in the IL.
Oh yeah, you're still banged up. Man, it's like a water skiing ropes. Jorge, let me explain something to you.
Oreo cookies.
All right. So what's hot is who's hot. Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is not only did he lead his team through a sweep of the Phoenix Suns against the guy that he has looked up to for his youth. Against Kevin Durant, he not only has flashed, let's say, bravado at the ends of games, he is not scared of anything. So
nope.
Do we think that Anthony Edwards, this run for him, is going to solidify himself as one of the stars in the NBA?
I think he's already there. He's the best young American player in the league.
Yeah, he's like, starting for Team USA. Should be.
You think about the best players in the league, they're all either old or non-Americans. Like, you think about LeBron, Steph, KD, that older generation of guys. Well, they're way closer to the end than they are at the beginning.
We can't relate to non-American players, but it is nice to have Anthony Edwards there.
It is, but you think about Jokic, Doncic, Giannis, Shea, Luka. Like, these guys are all from other parts of the world. that Anthony Edwards is the best, like when you think about it like that, he's the best young American player, or very maybe Booker, but you know, there's just, he's on that level. He is that guy for the future of that team, this league, Team USA, all of those things.
This is how you know too. He's 22 years old.
Yeah.
And this is, I love the questions that he's been getting these last couple of days. Scott Van Pelt, he hopped on with him after game three. And he just basically said, you know, he's like, hey, a little nervous. It's a closeout game. He's like, I've never played in a closeout game. We've never won a playoff series mm-hmm. with me. So let me go figure it out, and I'll tell you how it goes after game four. Yesterday on with TNT, he talks about this, and it's kind of, you know, it's interesting because he keeps saying, I just want to kill who's in front of me. Like, he says some things that it's like, all right, that's kind of –
you too need naive that, to be scared.
You need that killer instinct, and he feels like the moment doesn't bother him at all.
Doesn't
yeah,
seem to.
Not naive in the way of like a condescending way, but he's just young. He doesn't know any better almost, so he's not
he doesn't
scared.
Know what to be afraid of.
Exactly. All right, so what's cold is Bradley Beal. So I guess I sent you guys a video in the break, and it's
bank
just
account ain't cold.
Hilarious to me. That so here's the what the video shows. Bradley Beal's coming off the bench in the game against the Wolves, and he clearly is not in a great mood, and he breezes by Frank Vogel, who has his hand out for like a high five or a fist bump or something. He basically gives him like an elbow or brushes aside Frank Vogel's hands and then high fives his teammates on the bench.
And okay? assistant coaches.
And assistant coaches. So one, that is Bradley Beal doing this. That is something. And two, that it's against Frank Vogel. Is Frank Vogel going to be the coach of the Suns next year?
No.
No, he's definitely not.
But because yeah. somebody's got to pay the price of a first-round sweep and the way that it went. But
Russell Westbrook didn't work with the Lakers, fire Frank Vogel.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal won't work for the Phoenix Suns, fire Frank Vogel.
It's the life of an NBA head coach, yeah. unless you're named Phil Jackson or you know Greg Popovich. It's just the way that it goes. It's not that big of a deal. I always think that there's a little bit too much of this stuff made of it in the moment. We're getting swept. I'm getting my ass kicked, and I'm walking off, and I'm not really feeling a high five at that moment. I'm not going to hold that against. I don't think Bradley Beal's a great NBA player, but having a bad moment at the end of a game where you're getting smoked, yeah, it's a.
But it was also a choice,
yeah,
to kind of brush aside your coach,
but it's
and
a,
to make a point to high five everybody else.
I agree with you, but it's also when somebody's deeply frustrated, I'm not going to say, okay, that's the guy that they are. I'll give him a little grace on that.
I will just say, under the circumstances, with what's happening with the Phoenix Suns, with getting swept, with everybody watching you and that team, knowing that you're making $50+ million a year, give the coach a high five. Keep it moving.
Who's hot? Who's cold? It's brought to you by NextGen, the official AC, heat, and plumbing company of SoCal sports fans. Call 833-3-NEXTGEN. That's 833-3-NEXGEN. Or visit NextGenAaronPlumbing.com. The Dump, Super Crosstalk, coming up next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Before we do that, let me remind you that it is a Michelob Ultra Reaction Monday on 710. And tonight, it's a Michelob Ultra Watch Party in the city of Downey. You can join the ESPN LA Street Team starting at 6 o'clock tonight at Ojos Locos in Downey to root on the purple and gold. It is game 5 tonight. Ojos Locos is in Downey at 8350 Firestone Boulevard. You can
Crazy
win
eyes.
Some ESPN LA swag. That's what that means. And you can you got a chance to take home an Austin Reeves autographed baseball. See you tonight. Thanks to Michelob Ultra. 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Busy day for the Kelseys.
Yeah.
So let's start with Jason Kelce. He's going to be a part of the ESPN Monday Night Football pregame show. That, according to Andrew Marchand, he was looked at by just about everybody that has a football program, but he is slated to join Scott Van Pelt on Monday Night Countdown. So Jason yeah. Kelce immediately steps into the media space.
I like that.
I was going to say, I like it too. There's certain players you just feel like will shine in that moment. Maybe for him too. Having so much success on his podcast, it's easy for him now to have these conversations.
Do you listen to his pod?
I don't. I've just listened to
MDU.
I like New Heights. I think they do a good job.
Every clip that they've got, and it will end up on whatever social platform.
Yeah.
They're always pretty entertaining. They're always pretty funny when he when he has his wife on there and kind of some of the stories that they tell together. Feels like he's very personable.
I think the candid part of it is incredibly important because a lot of times when guys are done playing right away, they still got a lot of their friends in the league.
Yeah.
They still have a lot of relationships in the league. And to come out and say, that guy missed a block and got his quarterback blown up, that could change that to do that right away. It's usually once you get a little further removed from it, it's a little easier to criticize. I'm optimistic. He seems like a pretty bright guy. He's funny. He's willing to say some things. So that should work out.
I think that on their show, they do tend to be a little bit, they have to walk the line because they're still in the league. So they can't, you know, talk S so hard on the show until a couple years out. But one thing that I think that they need to do on Sunday Night Countdown or Monday Night Countdown, they need to have him as like a man on the street. He needs to go and have a segment every week at one of the tailgate spots. And like, because one of the best things about the playoff run after the Eagles got booted was Jason Kelce was going crazy and like having beers with the people. And like, I know there's a line of what you can do on camera and all that stuff when you're working, but I think that like you can take advantage of Jason Kelce being a man of the people essentially and do a segment.
It's
like that.
It's funny, is like you can almost see like his wife when she's explaining it. Like it's leading up to it. It's like no, please don't do this.
You think that's the first time she saw him do that?
No.
Like the wives know, husbands know. We know when it's gonna be one of those days. Okay, you understand. We've signed up for this. This is how it works. Oh, she's gonna. All right, this is what we're doing. All right, I got it.
At the Super Bowl after party, she was like, "You have fun, Jason. I'm going to go back to the hotel and enjoy a night to myself." And he went out with the Matador. What's it called? Luchador mask.
Luchador, yeah. Travis Kelce got a new deal. He and the Chiefs have agreed to terms on a 2-year contract extension that will make him the highest paid tight end. Sure, why not? He's Travis Kelce. He win Super Bowls because he and Patrick Mahomes are really, really good together.
Where do you think he is on the tight ends on the league? Is he the best tight end in the league? Who do you think is the best tight end in the league?
He's the first name that comes to mind. I'm trying to think of some other guys that have had huge impacts in the last couple. Because Gronk is long gone. Yeah. Gonzalez is gone.
He's the name. He's the name, too, because it's big-time situations where he's coming through
as well. The Lions guy is really great. He was the one that got hurt right before
Laporta.
Yeah. He's great.
He's a rookie, though, so he can't be – I mean – yeah, I mean
– Kittle, yeah.
But doesn't that tell you the answer right there? That there wasn't 3 or 4 tight ends that were jumping out, and you're saying, well, it's got to be that guy. It's got to be this guy.
Understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce is awesome. Travis Kelce is going straight to the Hall of Fame. He's awesome. Patrick Mahomes helps a lot.
100%.
You know what I'm just saying? That if Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, you're going to look pretty good. And I'm not throwing any shade at Travis Kelce at all. He's terrific, but Patrick Mahomes helps.
And when you're Patrick Mahomes' biggest weapon at this point, too. Like, he made himself the biggest weapon, and it proves it.
It was today in 2018 that The Simpsons surpassed Gunsmoke as the highest number of episodes for any television series of all time. They made their 635th episode in 2018. It's 2024, and it's still on the air.
You said it's kind of churning around towards you a little
bit. It's hit and miss. I watched it again last night.
I was going to say, how often do you watch?
I watch them all, but I don't watch them as they come out the way that I used to.
Is it like SNL where like the writers do you connect with more?
I don't know the writers, so I can't say, oh, I like this guy, I don't like that guy. All I know is that it's good about half the time. When it's good, it's very good. And then there are other times it's like, yeah, I wasted 20 minutes of my life.
Conan was a writer on The Simpsons for a little bit.
At this stage, to be 50%, that's not bad.
What do you got going over there, Chris?
It says Go Kings Go.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Travis is a hater.
I'm not a hater, I wouldn't say. I wouldn't
You're
go as far as saying. I'm a Ducks fan, but that's okay. That's okay.
Speaking of the Simpsons.
Now is the only time you could do this?
This is it. Now
is really the only time that we could do this.
That works.
Do you guys want me to get up and help you knock this out, or what are we doing? I don't think it's a tall thing. I don't think you know what you're doing.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Mace, come on in. We're doing a little construction here in the studio in the middle of the segment.
Yeah,
you're good. Just come
Jackhammer.
On in.
Yeah.
Get out your tool belt and start drilling holes in the wall.
Schneider. From one day at a time.
Were those cigarettes in his sleeve, or was that like a box of screws?
They were cigarettes, I think, yeah.
Different time.
Yeah, it was.
And why was he always hanging out with the, what was their name? What were they? Not the Turners.
What was her name? Bonnie Franklin.
Bonnie Franklin was her name.
Valerie Bertinelli was the... Yes. One of the daughters, right?
And the mamas and papas, Mackenzie Phillips.
Mackenzie Phillips, that's right. She was in it, too.
Yeah. John, do you remember the name of the family in One Day at a Time?
I, I, watched a lot of that show, and I don't.
Okay.
He was Schneider. It was his name.
Yeah.
Wow, what was he? What? Ann Romano. I just looked it up.
Oh, Romano. Yeah, the Romanos.
Yes. Yes. I would have given you could have given me 100 years. I'm not coming up with the Romanos. Now that everybody's here and
yeah.
Chris is almost done with his construction, we should do a little super crosstalk. Bonk, bonk. Am I the only one in this? I know Al isn't. Do you watch The Simpsons, Mace?
I'm not a big Simpsons guy.
No. Ireland, are you a Simpsons person at all?
Not for years.
Maybe.
I used to, back
yeah,
in the day.
At the very beginning, I was a Simpsons guy, but not. It's in season 56 now.
It set the record for most television episodes ever.
Wow.
In 2018 with 635.
That's
it's
amazing.
2024.
Hey, here we are.
They've stacked
later.
On wow. six more seasons since
They're
then.
790 something. 797.
Yeah. I still watch it. It's not what it was.
I'll watch it when the kids grow up. I want to see the grown up kids. I'm tired of the baby kids.
Well, they haven't grown up in 30 years.
Yeah,
so
they are
hold
really,
breath.
Really. Yeah,
Homer still looks good.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like, you hear the voices on some of the voice actors. Well, they're in their 70s
Oh, that's
and 80s
right. The
now.
Voice actors are. Yeah.
Yeah. So the woman, Julie Kavner, who voices Marge, she sounds a little different than
yes,
she did.
Yes, she does. You're right.
Nearly 40 years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
Isn't it a woman that voices Bart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nancy
yeah.
Cartwright.
Nancy Cartwright. That's right.
Yeah. They've switched some people out. Some people have actually croaked. So what are you
I'm
going to
binge watch it.
Are you going to binge started. All 56 seasons?
I'm going to get started.
Yeah, yeah, get started now.
So where are we, fellas?
Hey!
Win tonight and it gets interesting,
I'm like,
right?
I'm, you know, I came in here today and I thought I'm going to take an Ireland line. Why not?
Why not?
Maybe no Jamal
See,
Murray?
I told you.
Maybe
Why
no Jamal Murray? Maybe
me?
Jared Vanderbilt comes back tonight, gives him 10 minutes?
Is Do that- you guys agree with me that if the Lakers win tonight,
oh, it's, a series.
Going, it's going seven?
I want to agree with you.
Here's a couple of things to just think about.
Mm-hmm.
I've never, you know, I've been doing this 30 years. I've never, ever heard a stat like this.
Okay.
The Lakers have led for 71% of the time in this series. LA's led for 136 minutes. Denver, 42 minutes. The only thing the Lakers haven't done is close.
Right.
So, did they solve that problem on Saturday?
Well, I mean, if LeBron does tonight in the fourth quarter what he did on Saturday, they got absolutely a chance. And everybody needs to go. Austin Reeves
well,
needs to go. D'Lo's got to go. AD, let's just say AD has been
terrific,
phenomenal
he's been
in
terrific.
This series.
He
just
has
phenomenal.
Guys, been the best player in the playoffs for any team. So far.
Yeah.
He's averaging 30, 16, and 4 assists while playing 42 minutes a game and going toe-to-toe with Jokic. And, oh, by the way, he's shooting 62% from the field.
I think what you just said, Mace, about if the other guys, they had 60 points outside of Bron and AD on Saturday.
Right.
That's why they won the game.
Sure.
So it will come down to Bron's going to do his thing. AD's going to do his thing. Is D'Lo, Austin Reeves, Rui... pick any players that you want. You need about 60 other points coming
in.
He's been a non-factor.
Yeah.
But
non-factor.
It's not just that if any of those components aren't, like, let's just say AD's good instead of awesome, you're out. LeBron's just good instead of awesome, you're out.
Well, can I say something about that, about LeBron just being good?
Mm-hmm.
He might be, guys, the best elimination game player of all time. After he scored 30 on Saturday. So he's now, and think of all the elimination games he's been in his career, in year 21. In elimination games, he averages 34 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists.
That's pretty good.
27 career elimination games. Those 34 points are the highest for any player when facing elimination ever. And here's the thing that really encouraged me. And again, the season could be over in 5 or 6 hours. If they lose, it's done. But think about this. In game 4... he made 14 of 23 shots, okay? 18 of the 23 attempts were in the paint.
Mm.
He's not messing around anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they dominated points and paint.
Last
they dominated
so,
that game. And by the way, rebounding, they were right there this time too. Did they out rebound
46-40?
Yeah, I think they out rebounded
them.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis had literally half of the Lakers' rebounds. The team had 46, and he had 23.
Wow.
The most unstoppable thing in basketball over the last 20 years, I guess, is LeBron James with a head of steam going to the basket.
Yep.
Right?
And now he's going to the basket, Trav, on almost every possession.
Can he do it, John? And obviously, just physically, can he go to that place where he's going to attack the rim the way that he has enough times over, not just tonight, but let's presume that Thursday they do sneak another one out. But right, can he just basically bully ball his way to three more wins or even one more win?
He can, but what you guys said earlier is still true. He can't do it by himself. So LeBron, and the story of games one and two is that LeBron and AD played great and no one else did.
Yep.
So now tonight some other guys got to show up.
Okay, I got a logistical question for you, Island, because I don't know the answer to this. Do the shoes show up on a separate vehicle?
This is amazing.
Like, I don't understand how the Nuggets
big
were in the building.
Here.
Not a conspiracy theory. I'm genuinely asking for, like, how does that happen? How did the truckload of shoes or the box of shoes,
the shoe truck never got there?
How did it not show up?
All right, so it would be almost impossible for me to explain to you guys how many moving parts are involved when you move a basketball team from practice facility to airplane, airplane to hotel, hotel to arena, arena back to the plane. We probably have, I don't know, 180 to 200 bags, and they all look alike, and they're all labeled. We have three equipment guys that travel with us, and they coordinate all of it, and they go. They're the hardest working group of guys on the travel in the travel party, and they Brian is our equipment manager. Brian Cuotti's really good. Chase and Jason are his assistants, and those dudes are 6 o'clock in the morning. They're loading bags. They're going over to the locker room. They're putting everything in. I don't know what happened, but somebody didn't put a bag on the truck.
Yeah,
just the shoes.
So they warmed up in slides.
Well, they didn't warm up at all. Michael Porter said he thought about it, but he didn't want to go out and shoot in slides, so he didn't shoot.
I don't know. Like, I understand what you're saying, John, where airplanes, buses, hotels, new city, we're in Cleveland, now we're in Miami, now we're in Philly, now we're in Vegas. Okay, fine. But they were at the hotel just coming back to another game.
Well, right. Trav, didn't you tell me a story a few years ago when you guys were all going on a family trip and Bobby just forgot?
Bobby just forgot his shoes.
Yeah. He named equipment manager
like
of the Nuggets?
It's just like Bobby.
Was it Bobby's fault?
It is a similar situation. Yeah, it is. Somebody just didn't grab it. And it wasn't the shoes. It was the inserts. These guys all wear inserts because they pound it. And so they couldn't warm up. But I guarantee you that will not happen again in this series.
They will have
imagine they will not make that mistake again.
Is Chipotle fast food or no?
Chipotle, that's a good question. I heard you guys talking about
this. Does it have a drive-thru?
Does not.
I've never seen a Chipotle with a drive-thru.
I don't believe Chipotle is either. Who says it is fast food?
Well, be careful.
Me and M.
You and M.
Well, yeah. Trav quietly.
Trav quietly, M really loud.
M will swing at your head.
Really? M is like, Chipotle is fast food.
How can it be fast food if they don't have a drive-thru?
It's quick service. It's like you're not sitting down. How is it different? The only differentiation is a drive-thru.
Right.
Right.
But I think that's what constitutes a fast food.
They're all
place.
Quick service restaurants. All these are labeled as QSRs. And so they.
She's throwing out an acronym. Look out.
Yeah, I disagree. Subway.
You have an acronym.
So, John, you're asking the right question. I think Subway is also fast food. And there's
I do too.
Here's some new information.
I don't think so either. Okay.
As of 2022, Chipotle opened its first Bay Area drive through restaurant. Okay. So there are some locations with a drive through. Is Chili's a quick. A fast food, it does have a drive-thru.
Does it matter?
You have to walk it out to you, won't you?
There is an actual drive-thru at some locations.
Really?
Chili's where
there's
you can
a Chili's right by my house.
A Chili's?
It's not that one. There are several locations that have an actual drive-thru. So.
Now, does it matter that Chipotle is owned by McDonald's?
Not anymore.
Oh, they sold it?
2006, I think.
Oh, boy. I was going under that assumption.
Or no, maybe later than 2016.
I have never eaten at a Chipotle.
Never?
Never?
Never.
So no Costco, no Chipotle.
No Costco, no Chipotle.
You don't need
exactly
a membership
right.
At
I hear the guac is really good at. You're making a.
It's okay. It's fine.
It's just an okay.
It's fine.
It's just okay.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah,
you're not saying, hey, you know what we should do tonight?
Let's go get some
Let's
guac.
Let's go get some chips
Chipotle.
And guac at Chipotle and sit down and enjoy a Friday night. Yeah. That's not what's happening.
I went out and got a good steak on Saturday.
Where'd you go?
Went to Taylor's downtown. Do you know Taylor's?
I know of it. I've never been.
Oh, It's a classic. Classic place.
I think we went there years ago as a sales staff. Years ago.
Had a really nice dry-aged New York strip, baked potato, loaded, little Cobb salad to start. It was like a couple of old... I actually went old fashions.
Oh, great choice.
Yeah, I went two old fashions. I had two old fashions and a lot of vape, and it was a night. It was a night!
When do you, okay, so
bring another steak out.
I
was just going to say, when do you take the vape in this equation of things that you're doing?
Yeah,
when he sits just down before at the restaurant.
Vape is before dinner. Dinner. Yep,
perfect. Did you even taste the steak?
Oh no, you do. It's not. It doesn't destroy your taste.
Here's what the problem that I run into in said situation.
Yeah,
it's not that I don't taste it.
Yeah,
it's the second I eat the last bite, I'm like, I'm ready to start all over again.
Oh, see, I don't have that munchy thing.
I never feel completely satiated.
Do you have that munchy thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not even like much like I want like Cheetos and things like that or sweets.
You just want more dinner.
I just can't stop eating.
I can't stop eating.
Hey,
either.
Tell me if this is weird. So last night, Michael hosted one of his big dinner. Oh, we took Amanda to dinner again.
Because,
So we had, you know, McMenamin came and Billy Mack and Stu and me and Michael. And so there were probably 10 of us. And Michael and I ordered the same steak, the same filet, but I ordered mine medium rare. He ordered his medium well. They gave me his steak.
Ooh.
So I cut into it, noticed it was medium well, and the waitress said, I was giving it a look, and I go, yeah, they overcooked it. She goes, I'll cook you another one right now. I'm so sorry. And I looked at Michael, and I went, hey, cut into that steak, yours. Is it medium rare? He goes, yeah. I go, okay, switch. So we just switched. But the waitress was adamant that she would cook me another one. Like, she didn't want us to switch.
It must have been a fancy restaurant, huh?
Yeah, I said, we're friends. Don't worry about it. And neither one of us took a bite. And that's, we aren't being weird there.
Did she go make two more steaks?
No.
She
had one foot in the kitchen, though. She was trying.
Yeah.
Because she felt bad.
I don't know you were at a nice place, I'm assuming, John?
Yeah, some fancy place.
Yeah, they're not going to make you slide the plate over if you don't want to.
It's true.
But if you, like you and Michael have had a relationship for, just give me yours, I'll give you mine.
But she was like, no, please, let me cook you another one. I'm like, no, I don't want to wait another 15 minutes.
What cut did you get, Ireland?
Petite, 6 ounce.
Petite, okay. So.
So did he. Michael and I both did.
What was the, because you can tell a steakhouse by the cost of the steak.
Right.
What was the price of the petite filet? Yeah,
sure. I got to guess too.
You got a 6 ounce petite filet.
Yep. This has
$58.
Okay, Slee, what do you think?
65.
Mace?
70.
45.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Okay.
Billy Mack got the 10 ounce. He paid 65.
Yeah, my New York on Saturday was 45.
Yeah.
That's 45 for a New York
is pretty
good.
Yeah. 8 ounces.
Really good price. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still hungry after 6 ounces.
Yeah.
Well, we have so much sides, Slee. Oh, yeah. Like, we're bringing like 19 sides. Mac and cheese.
It's not like Mastro's, is it? Was it Mastro's?
Yeah. No. It's a place called Edge.
Did they have all the like gigantic seafood tower, like seven feet tall and all that? I'm not a believer in Mastro's. I don't believe that anybody needs that much food. I think it's too much. Too much show.
Mace, do you know who owns Mastro's?
Tillman Fertitta, right?
Yep.
Oh, is it Fertitta? Yeah. He needs to tone it down a little bit at the Mastro's.
You can send your seafood tower right over here.
Make the seafood tower a little shorter.
You want like a seafood frisbee.
Yeah, exactly. Just
you
a little seafood,
go out. You
little
don't
seafood
go up.
Plate, not
Hi,
a
Tim.
Tower.
This is Steve.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wanted to let you know.
Why don't you like that? Now this is going to bother me the rest of the day.
I don't like to see food get wasted, and I think at Mastro's a lot of food gets wasted.
Well, just invite Trav, and then
nothing. Just clean everybody's plate.
I'll eat the ice out of the seafood tray.
Take everything home.
It's going to happen for sure.
I'll eat the ice.
Super Crosstalk was brought to you by In-N-Out. In-N-Out. That's what a hamburger's all about.